With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, this week brought to you by another podcast, yes. The Epiphany of Theodosius Pennington, the greatest comedy never released. This is next up in my personal... Stop laughing. Personal promotion of myself.
Ridiculous.
Jamie, I expect you to put a little link to it on there, please.
I'm surprised you haven't sort of promoted your rabbit hotel. That's going to be next on the list.
That'll be next. Tell me this, Jamie. That... Is it true or not that... me making a comedy 10 years ago that never got off the ground, we never even took it off my hard drive.
Yeah.
Me making that comedy has brought us half the guests we've had on this podcast over the last year.
I cannot deny that is a true exactly. fact.
So I think we owe it to that story, the Epiphany of Theodosius Pennington, to give it some promotion. Click on it, see what you think. Me and the guy who wrote it, Russell, introduce it. I love it. I genuinely think it's brilliant, a brilliant story, and it's just a
two-part. And the guy Russell is Russell Gomer, who we've had on the podcast from Stella.
Also starring Simon Armstrong from Game of Thrones, and Ian Cunningham, a bloody genius. So, have a click, have a listen. Really want to know what you think, especially if you like sci-fi, ripping yarns or adventure stories, right? And comedy, because quite ridiculous, complicated comedy. It's very complicated. Click on it. Anyway, welcome to this episode. We were going to be talking to... It seems like we apologise for Muppet Man, Andrew James Spooner, pretty much every week. Well, this week he was going to be here talking about Boardwalk Empire, but again, his Muppet skills have been called into action, and he sent me a very apologetic email. Aww. So, you know, you got to go where the man pays you. So he had to go and do some puppeteering tonight, so he couldn't talk to us.
But Muppet's got to do what a Muppet's got to do.
Exactly. We've got lots to talk about instead this podcast. We're going to be getting an update from various people. We're going to be talking about The Bridge. And welcome back, work experience boy, Jack.
Hey. Hello.
How are you?
Happy New Year, belated.
Happy New Year to you too.
We thought, like all our work experiences boys before, that you ditched us after realising... How disappointing it was to spend time with us.
Yeah, I thought it'd disappear completely.
No, also, I think I need you more than you need me, so I'm sticking about, don't worry.
As long as Marsh is here as well.
Marsha!
Welcome to the podcast.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're doing a little spinny thing on my screen. Oh, you've got your bloody screen on again, I can see you.
Oh. Should I switch it off?
No, I'll watch you. It's fine. Yeah. It seems weird that you can't see us, but we can see you.
But
almost unfair. Certainly voyeuristic.
I'm going to imagine you're all naked and...
Okay.
Touching
stop that.
Once you've seen my picture, obs.
yeah. Welcome to the podcast. Live from Toronto.
Yes.
And that is a lovely, big, fat microphone you've got in front of you there.
It's quite phallic, isn't it?
Yeah. What is it, Marcia?
It's called a Blue Yeti.
Oh, I've heard of them. Yeah, special podcasting mic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. Super easy to use. USB.
Well, right. ours is that as well, but we've got kind of better microphones and stuff. But no, but you do sound good, actually. It sounds great.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, how's Canada? I was there not long ago.
Yes, I know. How was it? So, I mean, you were close in Canadian terms, but you were like miles away in any other realistic terms.
So you're in Toronto.
I'm sorry that it wasn't cold.
It was cold. It was bloody freezing.
It was? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Montreal was really cold. We had minus 30 the day that I left.
Okay.
Mostly it was minus sort of 16, something like that. Lots of snow. I started drinking whiskey for the first time in my life because it made sense. Sit at the hotel bar, have a whiskey. And it was just brilliant. I love it. Canada's great.
Aww.
I mean, it is the yogurt weaving place that I imagined it was, but it was a lot more American than I thought it would be in some ways, and certainly more French. Every bloody hell, does everyone speak French?
Montreal, yeah. They're not kidding around, are they?
They are not. It's what they speak, and that's it. Let's talk about box sets. So, Jack's here as usual. Marsh is here, and the whole family's back together. Marsha, are you still watching West Wing?
Okay.
Oh.
So,
all right, we'll come back to that. Jack, last week we were talking about Making a Murderer. Marsha, Jack, have you seen Making a Murderer, Marsha?
I have a lot to say about this.
Okay, and whoa. Jack.
Yes, yeah, finished, yeah. Boxed off.
Interesting point about Making a Murderer and Canadians. I think they sound like the Canadian. They've got a very Canadian twang to them.
Yeah,
the people of Manitowoc.
Well, isn't it up there? Isn't it? One of those states.
It's Wisconsin,
quite high up.
So it's Wisconsin, yeah, I think it is.
I'll Google it while Jack tells us what he thought of Making a Murderer.
I thought that Ken Kratz, the state lawyer, is a fat little bearded turd.
Okay, all right. I think is that Marshall. Where do we stand legally on Jack's statement just now?
Oh, I don't know.
We're all right because he's in a different country. I think yeah. We're fine.
I think Jack's not saying he's actually made of poo.
No, he's not. No, Jack said in my opinion, didn't he? I mean,
yeah,
he said I think. So, wow.
No, yeah. The problem that I have with stuff like this, and it was a little bit the same in the drinks, but not as much, is I really liked both the lawyers, the Stephen Avery's lawyers, the defence lawyers. And you sort of build a bit of a relationship towards them, and then you realise at the end of it, you know, someone's actually been murdered, and it's not a... I'm so used to watching made-up stuff, fiction stuff, you forget that it's actually real life.
Well, did you listen to last week's podcast, Jack?
Yeah, I have listened to it, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was Marsha.
I haven't yet, I'm so sure. Sorry.
Last week we discussed that very ethical issue, Jack, and, yeah, I think it is... tricky, perhaps, but hey, forget it. Let's just enjoy justice being served in a very biased way. Before we go back to Marsh, who's in Toronto, I just want to confirm that Wisconsin is in fact on exactly the same level on the Google Maps as Toronto.
There you go.
Yeah, Jamie, good observation. The social geography that affects the voice, which it does, has probably made those people sound like Canadians. Marsha, tell us what you think.
Also the same level as Bordeaux, interestingly, which is why it's so
Bordeaux
hot.
Bordeaux in France?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, we're super, isn't it? I haven't got the map in front of me.
What?
Like we're at the same level as south of France, and that's why it gets so hot here.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just that, like, you in the UK have the Gulf Stream, and that's why you don't get the extreme temperatures.
That's right.
That you have here in North America.
Yeah, you're right. It is, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. See? Well, yeah. That's all we've got time for tonight.
Oh.
This podcast brought to you by Geography Canada, which is probably an organisation state-funded. Marsha.
Making a Murderer.
Let's not spoil the ending,
No, spoilers.
We know
okay,
that it's
so
about
actually,
a man in prison, a man who is accused of something. Yes.
There's something that I have to say about Making a Murderer that is actually a similar thing that I have to say about West Wing, which is I watch TV in two different kinds of ways, box set. I either watch them with a TV buddy or I watch stuff by myself a lot. And Making a Murderer, I went to watch by myself because my TV buddy had already seen it. And I watched, and I love documentaries. I'm a huge nerd about documentaries. But first of all, I got anxiety dreams every night because I'd watch it before bed and then just have horrible dreams all night. And then after the third hour, I thought, I now have watched enough of this documentary to have an understanding, and this is like, you find this out in the first basically 5 minutes, that the justice system in the US and probably everywhere is not to be trusted often. And I kind of already knew that, but now I have this good inherent understanding. And I felt like, do I actually need to watch another 7 hours of this? Like, do I need to make myself miserable for 7 more hours? Because it looks like I know where this is going. But I also wanted to find out what happened. So what I did, I have a lot of Facebook friends, most of whom I don't know, but it's very good for hive mind. So I went on Facebook and I said, spoiler request. I don't want to know. I don't want to watch the next 7 hours. Can you just tell me blow by blow what happens? And actually what people said in that thread, and I won't give anything away, but made me more inclined to want to go back and watch it.
You did what?
Because at the beginning,
you did sort of,
because
what?
You, it's because I thought, I don't, there's like...
You went on social media and said, could everyone ruin the end of this thing for me, please?
Well, it's because, as you discussed, there's so much good TV that I could be watching, and I felt like I wanted to spend 7 hours.
So it's so good that it's so good that you want to know how it ends.
You're breaking so many rules right now, Marcia. You should be in prison with Stephen Avery.
Shall we, what? Okay, two other options from what you did, okay?
Yeah.
Because I think you were just doing it to be cool and controversial. Two other options.
Go, have something to say.
Number one, just turn it off and don't watch it if you don't like it.
No,
that's option one. Oh, you wanted to know what happened. So it was good enough to make you want to watch the damn thing.
No, I wanted someone to
So watch the last episode. Watch the last one.
Yeah, but
if you want to ruin it.
What happened? There was already so many twists and turns in the first three that I wanted to know what happened in there.
You're a fucking lunatic.
No, but it was interesting because
How can it be so intriguing, right? You want to know what happens, but it's that level of interest isn't enough to just fast forward to the end. It's
you
want other people to tell you in bullet points. It sounds like so much effort.
You have to understand how curious I am, and B, how little time I am. Like, if I walk into a conversation and you say to Jamie, no, downstairs, I'll be like, what's downstairs? Who? Why is she going? Like, I need to know everything about everything. But also, I just don't have a lot of time, and I want to watch some TV that isn't going to give me bad dreams every single night. And so I thought, if people just tell me what happens, it's not good. They're not going to tell me in real time everything that happens in the show. And so, but what was so interesting was what people said. And what I did was I made everyone start every comment. It's very explicit about how many spoilers there were going to be. And everyone had to start each comment writing spoiler in all caps so that if someone accidentally read it, they wouldn't read any spoilers. And what people said made me want to watch the rest of it, because I think from the first three episodes, it looked like it was very clear how this was going to go.
Okay.
And basically
there's
what everyone said was
option.
Like...
There's a third option.
What's that?
Watching the end, not watching it. You've just summed up what this podcast is for. And this time last week, we did a bloody podcast about why you should watch Making a Murderer. So all you've done is taken this podcast, set it up yourself, but in a rubbish written form.
I'm defecting.
Yeah.
I'm my
so you're doing a blog called the Box Set Blog, are you?
Everything that you did, you could have just listened to a 40-minute podcast that you've been on and that you like and that you try and support, and instead you spent all your time starting up your own little world of podcasty fun with Facebook.
You could even have listened to it and then promoted it to all those bloody people and said, hey, if anyone else wants to know what happens, listen to this, it's full of spoilers.
You've just made us irrelevant.
We did a spoiler special of Making a Murderer.
to be fair, I think I did it before you did the podcast, but I will now, here is my commitment. I am going to go back.
Oh, it's too late for that.
I'm going to post it on my Facebook. I have like 3,000 and something friends on Facebook. I'm going to post to them that they have to listen.
All right, if you've got 3,000 friends, that's fine. I'll take it all back. But even so, the other option would be next time you're in it. I mean, the only reason really surely to know the end is so that you're armed in conversation, so that you can talk about it with people, because everyone's talking about
it's
it.
Because I'm so curious, and I just wanted to
I'm
know.
Holding something in my
but
hand.
But I'm curious. I'm curious. Like, I will watch dreadful films and TV to the end, because I want to know, or I won't watch them, but I'll get someone to tell me what happens.
Tell me what I look like and how I am, either standing, sitting, lying right now.
I can't, because
you're curious.
Oh, yeah, I'm really
figure
curious.
It out. Figure it out from the way that I sound. What am I doing?
Yeah, that's not curiosity. That's
I'm going to reveal it. I'm going to turn my camera on. Okay.
You're in the bath.
I think you're lying. I think you're lying down on one elbow.
Jack, what do you think?
Coquettishly on your hip.
I think you're in the bath naked, but there's no water in it. You're having a breakdown.
I'll show you what I am.
Okay.
I'm going to turn my screen on now.
Oh, on the rate. On the rate, it's actually happening.
Spinning thing is going on.
You're lying down. You're in bed. I was right. Just none of the coquettishness.
And this is my microphone.
Oh. Howl.
Yep.
We need to give Adam get Adam on now. He's
okay.
Ready for Sky.
Right, we'll get Adam on. He's missed a lot. I'm in bed because it's so cold that I've just climbed into bed while I'm recording this. I'm going to turn me off now because I don't like looking at myself, unlike Marcia, who loves the sight of her own writing on a bloody message board about spoilers. Okay. What was your point about the West Wing then? Same thing, that you asked people to tell you what happened.
No. Okay, so with the West Wing, when I was last on, I'd watched one episode, I wasn't sure, and you guys convinced me to watch it for two reasons. One, because Matt said he'd watched every episode at least three times, and many of them more. And the other, because you, Hal, said that the box set pod rule of you have to watch four episodes before you give up came from the West Wing. So
yes,
I watched...
That's right.
Five episodes of The West Wing. And again, I was watching this by myself. And do you know what I realized? I feel like this actually will be interesting to you. So we've talked before about my favorite TV show of all time, The Return.
Let's welcome Adam to the podcast.
Oh. Hi, Adam.
Hello. Hi.
Adam.
How you doing?
Marcia is in the middle of a fascinating story about experiencing The West Wing, okay?
All right, crack on then, Marcia.
Okay, all right. So I committed to watching more of The West Wing after being on the box set pod and being on the jury and everyone convincing me. I understand that The West Wing is amazing and is really well written, but... Oh, so I was talking about The Return. The Return is my favourite TV show. Hal, you laugh at me for it because it's so slow. You think it's the slowest show in the world. I have a little bit of... admittedly self-diagnosed attention deficit disorder. Like I'm not really allowed to use the cooker because I've destroyed so many pans by just leaving them on to boil until the smoke alarm goes off. And I find watching The West Wing quite stressful because it's just constant conversation. There's no gaps. And so you have to just be like paying attention the whole time. Mm. And I think if I was watching it with a TV buddy where I could periodically pause and be like, okay, what's happening? But actually, because it's my like solo relaxation time, I find it very stressful. And that's the time where I want to just relax and like have a lovely TV time. And so... after five episodes, I thought, I'm not writing it off forever. And maybe when I break my leg, but I just felt like I wasn't having an enjoyable time. It was like satisfying and meaningful, but it wasn't enjoyable. And then I turned to Making a Murderer, which, as we've discussed, I also found not enjoyable. And so I instead turned to one of the least challenging TV shows I've ever seen, which I'm loving, which is About a Boy.
Has anybody watched About a Boy?
No, I had heard that they'd made it into a TV series, but I didn't seen any of it.
All right, I want to check in with Adam. Adam, have you watched, because Adam was on last week on the podcast that Marcia really should have listened to. Adam, did you start Making a Murderer?
I actually didn't.
Okay, great. So,
yeah.
So even Adam, who was on the damn podcast, recommending it, didn't bloody watch it. All I can say is thank God for Jack, who has actually watched the whole thing. But he probably... Oh, no, and he did listen last week. Oh,
yeah,
Jack.
I was
going to say, the problem was last week as well. I listened back to last week's show, and then obviously I had to stop listening at the point where I had to leave the actual show. So I don't know if you got back in touch with Matt.
There are a number of
old cliffhangers for me that I'll never be able to listen to until I actually watch the show.
Yeah,
but exactly. To a degree, I don't know how much unnecessary spoiler savouring you were doing for me.
Definitely.
I think you might have gone over the top a little bit, because if it was the fact that he's...
Oh, Adam, you have wandered in here like a with a shotgun. You join us after I've just cut out a massive piece of the podcast where Adam ruined everything for everybody, but by accident.
And it's a shame because you missed some very good insults towards Adam. But it's his own fault. It's his own fault that both he ruined it, he's made me do some editing, and he's made you miss the insults that were caused by him. So, Adam, you haven't started making a murderer.
Nope.
I recommend you do.
Adam, send him my Facebook thread.
But of course, Adam has watched West Wing, the whole thing.
Nope, I haven't.
What the hecking what?
Nope, never watched an episode of it.
This is the podcast about people who haven't watched any box sets.
It is at the top of my should get round to watching list.
Right, Jamie. Marsha's stuck at 5 episodes. She's blaming this on some self-diagnosis of attention deficit. Surely if you've got attention deficit, it should please you because it's got so much shit in it. Are you saying you want to be multitasking elsewhere, Marsha?
No, it's more that I just can't really hang on to anything. Like, I think I need... Maybe it's not attention deficit. Maybe it's like an introverted tendency. But I need that blank space to process what's happening. And that's why I love Le Revenant. Lots of blank space.
We said this last time. Maybe you're working too hard.
Sorry. I was just going to say, you know what I noticed has come on Netflix recently that sounds like it'll appeal to Marsha?
Yeah.
Just blank firewood burn. Yeah. You can now on Netflix just stream like a log fire.
Yeah,
and there's about 3 different versions of it. And that sounds like that's what you're getting from The Returned.
It's perfect. I
just
see her like
a pretty thing
hyper pogo sticking around the room with the fire burning on the TV.
In fairness to Marsha, she's passed the 4 episode rule. And from thenceforth, we can no longer pass judgment on Marsha's ability to decide whether she should watch the show.
But I think we can, though, can't we? Because there really are some series that... I mean, I really think West Wing changes every series, and actually, Marsha, it slows down.
And I think the problem, Marsha, is with someone like you, the idea of you missing parts of the plot to you probably really bothers you. Probably really grates at you when you're missing moments and you don't understand some of the bits. Yeah. Whereas someone like me or other people can brush over the fact that they're not understanding the intricacies. Just try and get the general gist and follow it through. But if you feel like you're getting in and out of the details, and for someone like you, that might be very difficult as an experience to go through, and that is the West Wing experience.
I have to also add that I don't feel neutrally about American politics, even quote unquote left wing politics as they claim to have, and so there is also the bit of me that's like just kind of has a certain amount of like anyway. Plus I find the music totally insufferable. Like, I see that the script is amazing, I see the acting is amazing, but the music like continues makes me want to throw something through
but
the screen.
But this is what I said to Jamie, and do you know what? I might have to bring into question the whole 4 episode rule, because I cannot claim that it was... I couldn't say in The Good Wife's Court that it was 4 episodes before I started enjoying The West Wing. All I know is that when I tell that story, I always talk about the music really pissing me off. Mm. And then I began to just love it. It really is about skipping some beats, Marsha. It's about going, I do not need to follow the whole thing. I just want the good guys to win.
Well, now I've been traumatised by Making a Murderer, and I didn't get that experience in The West Wing. Maybe I'll go back to it.
I really think you should carry on, and I do think that West Wing is one of those that really matures. It changes gradually, but certainly the last 2 seasons are very different in style and pace and everything. It really brings us up to modern day quite nicely.
I think there is a problem with the 4 episode rule in that. Like, you need that one episode. Like, there's always one episode in a show that almost explains it and you get it. Like, like with Mad Men, it's it might be like the carousel episode at the end of season 1. Not for Jack, but for other people.
Definitely not.
You know, there's an episode that suddenly the show makes sense. And like, maybe in the first 4 episodes of West Wing, you don't get that episode that you need to really persuade you around.
Do you know another thing, though, with the West Wing is it's intimidating that there's seven series because there's so much good TV and there's so, you know, and I haven't seen Mad Men and I haven't seen Breaking Bad and so I haven't seen The Sopranos. There's so much other stuff that I want to watch that I'm like, well, if I'm not loving it and I did five episodes and I passed the 4-episode rule that was made, you know.
I think we're going to have to change the rule, folks. I think it needs to now be called the minimum 4-episode rule, which allows some scope for change. For example,
you're cutting off the one solid thing this podcast
has. I know.
You said there's that page on the website which is Box Set Rules, and there's one. There's still one there.
Adam,
you're changing it.
Internet department, just... Adam, you can now add another rule. And the next rule is the 4-episode rule may be more than 4 in the case of some series. Certainly, Jack needs to make a crack on of Mad Men and carry on with that.
I feel like a bit like what Marcia said. I feel as though I need to do some serious damage to a ligament, which renders me not being able to move from my TV screen
maybe
to be able to watch it.
Maybe we should holiday together.
We know people, Jack.
Maybe that's a service. Maybe that's a service that the box set should offer. Yeah, like, we should go around hobbling people so you can stay indoors. We hobble you and we give you about 5 different box sets to watch. It could be like...
No excuses for calling in and not having seen them next time.
And if you haven't watched Misery, you won't understand the reference of hobbling you, but it really is superb. So
you can watch it when you're hobbled.
Let's move on.
Also, can I just make a point about something Marsha just said about, like, you know, when you see a series and it's got like 5 series or 6 series and it feels quite intimidating. I like it when there's a big chunk of stuff to watch. I like it when you know, because you don't have to watch it all in one go. You can sort of, you know that for the next 4 months you've got something that, you know, if you get into, is going to be there every day. You can watch it and you can binge it a couple of weekends. But I like having like 6 seasons to sort of churn
which
through.
Which brings me on to The Good Wife. Marcia, yeah. Do you watch The Good Wife?
I haven't seen it ever, but Adam. I have friends who love it as well as you guys.
Adam, you watch it, don't you?
I have, yes, yeah. Just finished season 6. Ironically, it's now just on Netflix after I actually went and bought it on DVD.
Do you know what?
But physical I'm media.
I'm going to make an admission now. I bought it on iTunes the day after it was on Netflix, and I got a refund from iTunes saying I bought it by accident. I've admitted it.
Get in.
Don't track me down. But seriously, I bought an Apple TV in order to get the iTunes, so I figure, you know, they've got the commission already.
Yeah, I bet doing it all right.
So, season 6 of The Good Wife. I will say this. Everyone told me to stick with it. Everyone said keep going. Mm. And there's been a lot of shit to hack through. I have been hacking through shit. And particularly, like, who do I give a shit about here? If Marsha's struggling to be empathetic with the Democratic Party when she's a lefty, imagine her watching The Good Wife and trying to feel empathy for essentially a lawyer who tells murderers how to get off and things like that. And then we're supposed to empathise with her because we understand that it's all about the race to the finish.
You
really
started to like it, Howie. You had that explosive cliffhanger.
I had an explosion. I enjoyed it. And then season 6 came along. Everything I've said about that was wrong with The Good Wife, they fixed bizarrely in season 6. So, you know, whenever they did like a little promotional video on there, they'd show like court case promotional videos that people are discussing in a lawsuit or whatever. Mm. They'd always be awful, like really shit quality. Like they'd been made by Jack or something. It was awful, right? Well, then season 6, it's suddenly become really, really well shot, really well written, well directed. The acting's good. The themes are deeper. Everything is. Don't you agree, Adam? It's suddenly changed.
Yeah, I'd say the first half of season 6 is the first time that it's really given focus to a long on-running plot.
Yeah,
focusing on these characters that you've built up with. Like the first season, it's just, I think as we said before, it was like watching ER or something like that.
Yes.
Familiar characters, some you sympathise with, some are rubbish. And then it has to be sort of 50 minutes of plot room, episodic plot room drama with characters that come in and out. And some of them are nice little cameos, but it's all a bit lightweight. And then the first two and the last 2 minutes of each episode, it's like, all right, here's the progression between these characters who are going to string each episode together. And it's about three seasons of that, just watchable, nice, undemanding, occasionally a bit cheap, sometimes quite funny, whatever, kind of just watchable TV drama, not bingy, not box set-y at all. And then, as we've discussed, sort of in season four, there's this big, there's the explosion that made your pants take notice or whatever. And then you're engrossed. Then you realise that actually you've started to buy into these characters that have not really been fully explored, but have been around the edges of each episode. And then you begin to care for some of them. And then, yeah, season six, the first, whatever, sort of 12 episodes of it, is all one big arc around one of these characters.
So bringing in the relationship for them. You're saying you agree then, yeah?
Sorry, what I meant to say, when you go back and edit it, yes.
I'm joking. Yeah, good answer. And even the character that annoys me more than any character I've ever seen in the world doesn't annoy me in this series. And I know that that character is about to be binned off. So everybody wins in that situation. I get something like her and I get rid of her. Not that far. Don't spoil this now. Jeez, you've already done one catastrophic. good. So that's The Good Wife. Enjoying it thoroughly. And we are going to talk briefly about an actual box set tonight in the court. So let's have a show of hands. Who has watched The Bridge?
I have.
Jack, Jamie and Adam.
Yeah.
We've got a majority of people have actually watched something. Jesus Christ.
Jack, have you watched The Bridge, Jack?
Yeah, I have. It was enjoyable, but a slog.
Adam, try not to ruin this for me, okay?
Okay. Have you not?
I've watched episode one of The Bridge a while ago. I think episode two as well. And I didn't do the four episode rule. So... persuade me. Do you know what it is? I agree with Alfred Hitchcock. Whodunits are boring because you're just waiting. The question is just answered at the end, and everything else along the way is just procedural, and it just bored me a bit.
I've never seen it, and my issue is I know nothing about it, but it just seems a bit murdery. I'm not super into the murdery ones, but I know that Christian Talbot, who's on this podcast sometimes, loves it.
Well, he should come on, shouldn't he?
Here we go.
Slacker. So, Jamie, tell me about the bridge.
Well, I mean, first of all, Howell, as ever, you should be the one to tell us.
Are you making your tea again?
Yep.
Jesus Christ. I knew you'd gone quiet and everything got noisy in the background. Can you not wait till half past?
Well, I've got to start it now, and it'll be ready by half past.
What's your wife doing, Jamie?
She's just been to the gym, so you know, she's in the shower.
That wasn't sexist. There's two of them in the house. Why can't she bloody do it? She's not at work.
Just folding the laundry.
Let her go to the gym.
Just to give some context and out of solidarity, I actually am doing the ironing while we speak as well.
You sound like you are. You sound very at peace, and it's a very zen task, the ironing, isn't it?
Yeah. I listened back to sort of the disdain you had for me being your only guest last week, and I thought, it's a level of respect.
Who had disdain?
Get some chores done.
Who? Me?
You? Yeah.
Oh, no, the disdain wasn't at you. The disdain was at everyone else who ditched if anything, I was thanking the Lord that you turned up, were the last choice. So, Jamie, you were saying...
Right, back to that. No, when we do this, Harry, you've got to describe what is The Bridge about. You've watched one episode.
Oh, yeah.
What's The Bridge about?
There is a bridge between two Scandinavian countries. One is Finland, one is Sweden.
No, Howell.
One is Norway, one is Finland.
Right, Sweden and Denmark.
One is Denmark, one is Sweden. The bridge is a very big bridge. It's a very beautiful bridge in an architectural way. And a murdered body is found, murdered, right on the middle of the bridge, which is half of the body is in Sweden and half of the body is in Denmark. Oh, my God. Two cop forces are going to have to work together on this one. That's it. That's the setup.
You're absolutely right. That is the setup to the bridge. It was said in a rather mardy, cynical way, Howell, that I don't appreciate. Okay,
that was mardy. That's exactly the word for Howell's tone there. You're right.
Like a teenager in his bedroom.
Dad wants me to watch Midsummer Murders again. God. Dad used to be texting.
Dad used to tell me to watch West Wing and I never listened to him. God, I've become my father. Jamie, why should I watch The Stupid Bridge?
Because, Howell, the bridge is the best, like, Scandinavian, Scandi Noir, as it's been called, Scandinavian depressing murdering stuff has become very big over the last sort of 5 to 6 years. But The Bridge, for me, and I've watched a lot of them, is the best. It's better than The Killing. It's better than other ones, etc. But the thing about The Bridge is it's got some really strong characters, namely the central blonde detective who has Asperger's. Her name is Saga. Adam, tell them about Saga.
Try not to ruin it.
Oh, wow, nice segue. Yeah, I would agree with you saying I think this is actually better than The Killing. If you look at it over certainly the course of the three seasons, I think The Killing went off a little bit towards the end there. Yeah, like you say, the sort of the central character who was, is it Asperger's? Really sort of
Asperger's.
Play up a sort of. It's fascinating that she could be. This sounds dismissive, but it's in no way important that this is a female-led character. This is a hard-bitten cop wearing leather trousers, driving a sports car, having casual sex because they can't really get along with other people, has a difficult relationship with the boss, works ridiculous hours, is, you know, absolutely determined to get justice while completely at the expense of her relationships with other colleagues. And it is a really gripping character, really well sort of portrayed, sort of nuanced performance. And it's strange because there is a degree of that police procedural that's in the first season, and then it grows out of that. Like anything, you know, I think you always need a narrative hook to start a story around, and then you let the characters grow out of this, and the narrative kind of takes second place, as we're talking about with Good Wife. I think it's just a stylish, sort of compelling, engrossing drama, and I'm not a sort of crime drama person in general. I do like all the Scandi stuff. I love The Killing, I love Borgen. I'm all right with all that kind of stuff in general, but I'm not. I always have a kind of personal cutoff point where I go, if this wasn't subtitled and this was in English, would I still be watching it? It's the Wallander test. Turns out I didn't like Wallander. I didn't watch Wallander when it was on ITV, and I won't watch the Swedish ones because they're just police procedural stuff. This has something more.
It just seems so miserable.
What is it that you don't like about
it? I'll tell you what, actually, as a little gateway, Hal, I would suggest this is actually one of the very few series that I've seen have an English remake, which is also good. The Tunnel, I think, is on Netflix, and that is the English language version of this, which is a sort of English French mix up with a body found in a Channel Tunnel. And is it Stephen Delane who's in Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Stannis Baratheon.
Yes. So he's the sort of British cop, and I can't remember the name of the very sort of pretty blonde French cop who he has to team up with. But that is also a really slightly different to The Bridge. It's different enough that if you've watched The Bridge, you can still get some enjoyment from that.
Adam's answers are so long, aren't they? God, thought I talked forever. Jesus.
You do.
Jack said, thank you, Adam. That was insightful. Adak said, what have I got against it? I think it's my penchant for avoiding misery. It just seems like, do you know what? I watched the episode and I went, I know what's going to happen in this. This woman is going to be a tricky cop to get on with. She's going to be an interesting character. And ultimately, we're probably going to find out that people have to work together a little bit more. But also, we'll find out who done it. And there'll be some surprises along the way. Is that wrong?
Well, you're not absolutely wrong, but you can condense everything down very quickly to something as banal as what you've just done, Howell.
You could say that, about making a murderer.
Could you?
Pretty much. But it's like some stuff's going to happen, and then we're going to find out some things.
Someone's going to think one thing. Somebody will think another thing. Somebody will be right.
But your Wallander test is essentially what I'm talking about, and it's true in this case, isn't it? That it's like we, just because it's filmed in a nice way and it's in Scandinavia doesn't mean we haven't seen it before. We have seen it before. Quite a lot of police procedurals. Mm-hmm. With the angry cop. I mean, it's essentially Life on Mars, but in Scandinavia.
No.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Marcia. Let's go to Marcia.
I feel like I need one of these two things. Do you fall in friend love with or fancy the main character as it progresses?
That's a really interesting. Yeah. I would say no. I'd say I care about her. Like, I actually think that she's such a. Like, especially in season three, actually, like, that's the thing. Like, her character gets more and more interesting, and you sort of worry about her because you understand the way she reacts to sort of situations, and you know that you kind of know her, like, you know, a friend who's difficult by the third series, and you worry about how they're going to handle situations. Yeah, it's like Howell. It's like, you know, you just and so there's a strange feeling about her that I really don't. She's an attractive lady, but I just see her as this fascinating individual who I want to succeed very much, even against all her nature.
Why do you ask, Marcia?
Because for me, that's really... I have to love my central characters. And so... Which maybe is another problem I had with Making a Murderer, was that I found it hard to love a lot in the three episodes I watched. But I feel like generally I either have to fancy or love them. Like in Game of Thrones,
Steve everyone Avery's
in that,
fit.
I either love or I want to boff.
Yeah. she isn't a character you ever really fancy going for a pint with.
Right.
No. It's got to be said. You never get that. And I think season one, actually, without spoiling, the one of the two main characters very much does fulfill that. You just want to give him a cuddle, go and have a pint with him, hang out with him. And she's the counterpoint to that. Season two, they really play up her Asperger's-ness, I think, a little bit too much. It got a little bit grating for me, if I'm honest, during season two. It's just every time anything happened, it just cut to her doing a funny little just not compute face that they began to sort of telegraph a little bit. But season three, you actually really find yourself empathising with her and thinking, right, well, she's adapting to certain scenarios and she's trying to do things a certain way. And you genuinely do kind of want to put a little bit of an arm around her. And
where do you place this, Jamie, compared to Bloodline?
Just
in terms of going in your spaceship, you know, how good is it? Because I'll be honest with you, I am right at this moment playing Tetris.
Really? Wow. Right, it's very, very good, Howell. It's very good. It is a bit miserable, but you've been watching The Walking Dead, which is misery personified, so I don't know why you can't try a little bit. All right, there's no zombies in it. But
but The Walking Dead is genuinely original. I didn't start The Walking Dead and go, okay, I know that people are going to be killing zombies, but I didn't start The Walking Dead and go, I know how this is going to end.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, like, the journey that you go on the bridge is worth it, even if it's just a whodunit, even if you guessed every twist in it, which you won't do, actually, by the way.
You won't.
But
no, of course not. You can't guess the twist. That's what annoys me about those things, because you know that ultimately you're not going to find out who did the bloody murder, right? You're not going to find out who did the murder until
No. The bridge gives you a satisfying ending, but not necessarily a happy ending, but it gives you a satisfying ending and it makes you want to see what's going to happen in the next series. I mean, like, I agree with Adam, the third series is the best one. So the question is this, like, is it worth... You might not necessarily love it immediately, but you'll love it eventually. And that's, and it might be that it's only by the third season that you really love it.
Also, let's deal with
Are we getting towards a 3-season rule now?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find out who did the murder at the end of season one?
Yes.
Then everything up until that point is exactly as I expect. There's going to be twists, but I'm ultimately not going to find shit out until the episode that I know. So it's entirely predictable for me. And I go, what's the point? Whereas I'm watching Bloodline, and I'm like, I'm absolutely hooked on Bloodline.
Yeah, but that's like looking at a roller coaster and going, right, I know that it's going to go upside down, it's going to take me around a couple of twists, and at the end of it, I'll feel slightly exhilarated, but I'll be annoyed as well because it'll have been too short. That's what you've just done. And when you go on a roller coaster, it's darn brilliant. Absolutely wind in your face.
For me, that is the only genre. That's the only genre that's a roller coaster. You name me another box set that you know what's going to happen at the last episode of season one. Name one.
So, are you saying that you're not interested in any crime drama?
I'm not in. It's not that I don't think. I think that The Bridge, if I invested in it, would probably, yes, be really, really good. I'm saying, I'm stood there and I'm going, there's so many other rides. I can't be arsed with the roller coaster. There's other shit to do. I'm going to go to the library instead because that's just more interesting to me.
I have to admit, I've only watched season one, and the thought of watching season two at the moment, partly because it's subtitled. And it's not one of them. I know you said before, like Dexter, you can put it on in the background and sort of mess about whilst you're watching it. Whereas with this, if you look away for a second, then, you know.
That's a disgusting noise. Who's making that noise? Is it you, Jake? What are you stirring, Jamie?
Chili con carne.
God, that was a disgusting noise.
Was it?
Yeah, it was just like...
You should try eating it.
My ear. I went to watch at the movie, and this is linked, at the movie house, the theatre, the cinema, the other day. I watched that bloody miserable film that everyone's raving about. Marsha, you'll love it. Room.
Oh, Room.
Oh, I want to watch it so badly. I read the book. I loved it.
Oh, God. God, I was so angry when I came out of that film.
Did you read the book?
No. Why would I choose? And I said this to Sarah afterwards when she was saying how good it is, like everyone else in the bloody world. Like, why would anybody choose? Why do people choose to put by their bedside these novels where somebody has imagined, it's not real, someone has imagined that a woman has been locked in a room in a garden, a soundproof room, where she has been raped every night. She's had a child as a result of that rape, who then has to hide in a closet and watch her getting raped every night. Why do you want to read that? Why do you choose to read that? Why do we... And everyone's sat in the cinema going, oh, God, I hope she gets out. You're going, I chose to sit in this seat.
Couldn't you say the same about Game of Thrones? But much more. I feel like Game of Thrones, it's the same, but gratuitous.
Yes, yes.
And I love
No, and I agree. I agree completely. When they
with that, it's like it's written in a context that isn't, that it's not all gratuitous. But Game of Thrones, it's just gratuitous sexual abuse and gratuitous torture. But
when there is gratuity beyond measure in Game of Thrones, I think the same thing. When there's someone stamping on someone else's head till their eyes pops out or something,
yeah.
I go, oh, for God's sake. You know, I have enough of it, or like a gladiator scene.
I have enough of that.
I have enough of this.
I want some escapism.
I just think it's not escapism. Like, the rest of it is escapism. It's just like when a scene in a gladiatorial battle goes on for 5 minutes, great. When it goes on for like 15 and then they come back to it again later, I just go, somebody made this up. It's horrible. And yet everyone in the world goes, this is a story about the mother's true love with a child. Okay, it's amazingly acted. Well done. It's a nicely directed film. I'm sure the book was... the same. Why do we need this? I've experienced hard things in my life. I don't need to go to the cinema and watch someone being tortured. Why do I want that? And it's not even real. So they don't know. It's bullshit psychology. That's what it is. It's like it is bullshit psychology because the person making it, they've not been locked in a room. They can't say how a woman and a child will turn out if they are locked in a room forever.
But maybe they had something similar. Apparently, the I haven't seen it, but Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, all I know about it is that there is extreme sexual violence in it, but apparently the writer had either had some experience or was close to someone that did, and so that sort of seems to have some slight more
maybe it's a metaphor for something. But even it was another one of those things where it was like the cinema was full. And we've had this conversation so many times now about 12 Years a Slave and what's the other one we were talking about recently that's similar?
Revenant.
All of these massive, like, really difficult things. And I think that they're superbly made, but I think they serve the same psychological purpose as EastEnders for people, which is they're sitting watching something bleak as shit. And it is bleak as shit. Anyone who describes being nightly raped in front of your child as not bleak as shit is insane, right? So surely it's insane to want to go and watch. Anyway, so The Bridge, right? Why do I want to sit and watch a moody, miserable thing about a dead body when I know that I've got to wait till the last episode to find out?
But I feel a bit like that about Making a Murderer, and you dissed me. I was like, why do I want to spend 7 more hours
have you watched The Jinx?
Yeah. I watched with other people, and I watched in real time when all the stuff was happening in real life.
Yeah, but even so, happy ending. I'm not spoiling anything there. Don't worry.
That's a good point. Why did you like Making a Murderer?
I found the trial stuff interesting. Things changed as we went along, and I didn't know how it was going to end. I suspected, but I didn't know, and that's different.
Probably didn't know how Room was going to end
from a procedural. No, but I knew they'd either escape or they wouldn't. So it was one of two options. But I'm not talking about the ending with that. With that one, it was more like the same as I felt when I went to watch Everest. Like, I blamed myself for going and going, what a horribly sad story. An amazing film, but horribly sad. But at least with Everest, it was true. It was real, and it's doing justice to... Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to be ripped apart by everyone who listens to this.
Doesn't it matter that The Bridge is interesting? It has bits like making the Murder, has interesting journeys to go on, is fascinating to follow the story, that you don't have to come out of every episode. You won't come out unsatisfied by each episode because it's not told you who's done it yet. That there is something in it that's actually you will quite enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, let's say that kind of idea of, well, you know where this is going, and this is going to the resolution of a crime. You know, you could make an argument, again, spoiler-free, about something like House of Cards, where when you know something about that character, that character's level of ambition, you think, well, there's a way that they're going to take this, and it's where it gets in season 3. That doesn't stop you enjoying...
There's still an if. It doesn't start.
There is an if, and it might be that actually there's not 100% conclusion to a crime at the end of a crime thing. You know, the number of flipping crime scenes where it's like, oh, somebody did this, and then there's a... Like, Dexter was full of that. Oh, but is somebody get away? Has he...
Yeah, but that's different from a whodunit. A whodunit it shows you the end first. It goes... A whodunit is totally different from that, because it goes, there is a dead body... Let's find out. It's like, we've lost a purse. Let's find out whose purse it is. For me, that's boring as shit. And Alfred Hitchcock. Hitchcock agrees with me.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. I heard you said it first, and he just has been sort of copying you.
That's what he's like.
For college. There's a point where, a whodunit beginning is a pretty well-worn kind of device. But, like you say, it's how these characters get through... the process, and then actually how that goes beyond the process and into a much wider thing. You know, it's TV drama now exists in a world, so it creates worlds that are wider than the case. You know, if you want to be good drama, you have to do that.
And three points. Number one, I am sure, I haven't heard one person say a bad thing about The Bridge, right? So I am absolutely certain that it's superb. Number two, That said, Jack can't be arsed going into season two. But then we all know Jack's an absolute philistine who won't carry on with Mad Men. So who gives a shit what Jack thinks? And third
that, point, that's purposely based on the fact that it's got the subtitles and it's...
You loser. You're actually one of those people who won't watch subtitles. What's wrong with you?
I wouldn't have started it if I'd have known it was in subtitles to start off with. I thought it was going to be made by like the BBC or something. I started watching and thought, Jesus.
And this guy's at university. This is who they're letting into university now. The bloody Tories. You know, anyone can just pay their way in. Jesus. My third point was, I think overall, all I'm saying is, it just doesn't feel to me, which is why I was playing Tetris, it doesn't feel to me like it's just going to compete with the top. Is anyone here putting it in their top five? Seven? Top seven?
Yeah. Oh, it's close to Mad Men, personally.
Close to Mad Men?
I'm trying not to take, you know, this is not a like a reviewer stance, this is a personal enjoyment thing.
Tetris is off.
I'm saying, yeah, in terms of just enjoyment, it is one of those shows where you genuinely, you see yourself looking at the clock going, well, have we got time for another one?
Jamie's once looking at the clock right this very moment as well, aren't you, Jamie?
Well, I'm about to have my chili con carne, but let me just say this to you, Howell. Right, you loved 24, didn't you?
I wouldn't say I loved it. I enjoyed
it. Oh, you loved it, Howard. And
hang on, you gave that seven seasons of your life.
I celebrated unemployment with it. And
is 24 the premise every season, you know, that Keith Sutherland is going to save the world at some point at the last episode of the series? Is that not the case?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I did kind of not pay attention to a lot of episodes in the middle. I wouldn't put 24 in my top 10 box sets. I wouldn't.
You've got to give it a go.
Where is it in your list, Jamie? That's what I want to know.
It's in the top 10. It's in the top 10.
Where?
Somewhere in there.
Write it down.
Probably around.
Right. Come up with a number now.
Nine. It's at number nine.
See? No one's even committing. Marsh, are you going to watch it? No.
I think I might.
Are you hell?
I feel like so many people have been going on about it.
I think you'll like it, Marcia. There is some violence in it. I know you're not fond of that, but...
Well, it's not even that. It's more like just needless random murdering. But no, I think I like it. Also, my uncle has Asperger's, so I have like a deep fondness. Like in Community, I love Arbid the most.
Yes.
And so I have a deep fondness for people who have Asperger's. And I think it sounds good. Like I feel like I'm into it.
Well, but that's not a reason to watch something, just because you know someone with Asperger's.
What is a good reason to watch something?
Well, if you know a black person and there's a black star in it, obviously, by this standard.
I feel like lots of people have talked about how amazing it is.
Do you know why I think you'll like it, Marcia? I think you should watch it, because I think it's got a lot of spaces, a lot of thinking time. Mm-hmm. Whenever they show a shot of that bloody bridge, which will last a good 30 seconds, you can think about doing the washing up, which pans you've left on, stuff like that. So it's got that space you're yearning for. But don't give up on the West
Wing. Can you go back out and mute that out, Hal?
What's that? Which bit?
That part where you assumed that Marsha would just be thinking about washing up and cooking.
I think you missed... she referenced that earlier, Adam.
Yeah.
That's you. He knows.
It's an ADD book.
Marsha, you've written a book.
Yay!
Whoa!
She wanted us to mention she's written a book. We've done it. We'll see you next week. What's the book?
It came out just before Christmas. It's called Off the Mic: The World's Best Stand-Up Comedians Get Serious About Comedy. It's nothing to do with box sets, but
is it printed?
Yeah, I could run and show you a copy. That'd be no good to anyone listening.
No one will see it.
Bloomsbury Harry Potter's publishers.
Wow.
Publishing. I know.
Has it got a castle in it?
There's no castle in it. No, it's basically me and Deborah Francis White interviewed a ton of stand-up comedians about what it means to be a stand-up comedian. What's your
writing
process? How'd you come up with your ideas? And there are new interviews in there with people like Eddie Izzard and Phil Jupitus and Sarah Millican and Jim Jeffries and... Todd Barry and other famous people who I can't remember.
How much money have you made out of it so far?
How much money? Oh, God, nothing. Nobody makes money out of books. Yeah. But also, this was published in the academic department, so we lost a lot of, you know, we spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
But it's good for kudos, and it's just really exciting to have my name on a book.
Well done. How exciting. Where can we buy it? On the internet?
In all good bookshops and on Bloomsbury Publishing. And don't buy it on Amazon, because my personal opinion, nothing to do with the Box Set Pod. They are evil slavers.
Yeah, but I think as well, if you go through Quidco, you can get some cash back on Amazon. So go for that.
Can I ask an actual, genuine, relevant question to Marcia then?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right, quick one. What's your favourite TV show with a led by a stand-up? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
great question.
Stand-up comedian Louis, going into Louis, a TV
Louis,
show.
Louis. Comedians in cars getting coffee for me.
Yeah, that's not really a show.
Of course it's a bloody show. It's on TV in America. And it's on the internet. Yeah.
No, it's on TV.
But have you seen the President Obama one yet?
Yeah, brilliant. Very absolutely good. Brilliant.
Can I make a request for a future Box Set Pod? I feel like I want to make this publicly. So if you're listening and you're like, yes, then you will email Howell and Jamie and be like, please, can we make this
no
happen?
One emails
It'll start
us.
A petition on a Vaz. I want to talk about Utopia. Like, Les Revenants is my favourite TV show in the world, and I talk about that anytime. But Utopia, I think, is the best TV show I've ever seen
okay.
in my life.
We will definitely talk about it if one other person here has watched it.
Not now. On a future episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Does that still stand?
Yep.
Because I have seen, I did watch most of the first series.
Damn it. Oh, most.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, not all of it.
That doesn't start well, Marcia. Okay.
But that's pretty full of unnecessary violence.
Well, no, that's the thing, is I don't think it's unnecessary. Like, it's way, it's incredibly violent, but I don't think it would work without the violence.
There is such thing as necessary violence, which is why Marcia.
Yeah, there is. And that show really, really, really is a good indicator of it. But it's incredible.
Great. And Marcia, you should listen to my other podcast, my new podcast.
What's your new podcast?
The Greatest Comedy Never Told, The Epiphany of Theodosius Pennington. Got that? Great.
Okay. Can I say one more thing? Is that my book came out of a podcast that I had, which I just put back up on iTunes because my old radio station took it down, Big Brother
what?
Style.
Did they?
Yeah, because they were like, she doesn't work here anymore. She never existed.
Wow.
But I took off all the radio station branding and put it back up. It's called Marcia Meets. And it's like, it's from a few years ago, but it's me doing long form interviews with
Be Stella. Careful, they'll still claim they own it at some point.
Yeah, I'm just not super telling them about it.
Yeah.
But I made sure I had my name in the title so that they couldn't fire me. Marcia Meets.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Good. Okay. Well, get Marcia's book. But also, my podcast is free, so go and listen to that first.
What's it called again?
It's called The Greatest Comedy Never Told, The Epiphany of Theodosius Pennington. I'll send you the link. It's the most confusing radio sci-fi comedy that you'll ever listen to. Which is why we never did anything with it. But I think it has some hilarious moments in it, which is why we finally released it. I think it's going to gain a huge cult following and going to be made into a movie. Right, everyone's asleep. Time to go. Well done, y'all. See you next week.
So hang on.
What?
How are you not going to bother watching The Bridge then?
I very much doubt that. Very much doubt it. But thanks for your effort. And you can get Tetris free from the App Store.
You've got to do four episodes, Howell.
We'll get round to it. We're piling through The Good Wife and Bloodline at the moment. We've got a queue on, but we'll get there.
I'll watch three episodes of The Bridge and then I'll just do a post about it on Facebook so you can read it.
Great idea. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam.
You're welcome.
What were you going to say? You're going to go?
I was going to quickly say, just finished watching Master of None, thinking about stand-ups doing comedy.
Oh, right.
That nudges up against Louis for my favourite.
We've got so much to talk about. I think you should all come back next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
This group.
I'm in.
Okay, great. See you same time
I'll
next week.
You.
Also, we might do a live one. There's a new live podcast app that is like... Periscope, but for podcasts. So I'm inquiring about whether we could do one of these live one week, and then you can hear Adam spoiling everything before I cut it out. Enjoy your chili, Jamie.
Yeah, will do.
Jack, I think you talk too much in that podcast. Subtitles, you loser. Use your eyes, you lazy.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.